We look at observations from Baltimore Ravens at mandatory minicamp so far with a very special guest next here on Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, of course, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms. And today's episode of Locked On Ravens is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle truly from BlueNile.com and Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off of purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On at checkout. And we're back. It is a Thursday edition episode of the show. And this is a special one today. Very special guest joining me here. First time appearance on the show. Someone I've wanted to have on for a really long time. I've been trying, but I think now is the perfect time to introduce him. It is Kyle Barber, the managing editor over at Baltimore Beat Down. You might have also seen his work on BaltimoreRavens.com, write some of the Late for Work articles over there. Kyle, it's a pleasure to have you on. How are you doing?
Doing well, Kevin. I enjoyed a nice sunny day here in Owings Mills, Maryland, as the Ravens were underway with a second of their mini camp practices with media availability. It was a scorcher out there, but, you know, enough sunscreen, you can go through anything.
Yeah, for me, I'm pale, so I burn through anything, unfortunately. I don't know if I've ever had a real tan in my life. It's been more just burning, going into tanning. But, yeah, the Ravens, it's hot right here. It's hot right now. So I think for Baltimore, getting these reps is huge, and we're going to talk about minicamp, Kyle, in the second and the third segments. I'm excited to dive into that and your observations and thoughts, but I just wanted to get your general thoughts in the first segment about what this team has done during the offseason. I mean, going into it, it at least felt to me like it was a huge offseason for them. Not necessarily a pure make-or-break offseason, but one that was extremely important. And in free agency, we didn't really see a ton happen during the first day. In fact, nothing really happened on the first day of free agency. But then the second day, this team goes out and they sign Marcus Williams, 5 years, $70 million. Also bringing in Morgan Moses. They technically agree to terms with Za'Darius Smith. That obviously did not work out. But yeah, they bring in Michael Pierce and a couple other guys. How have you felt like this team has done? It's not over yet, but how do you feel like this team has done with their free agency additions so far?
It felt like a transitional year. They released Alejandro Villanueva, you know, as he went to the reserved retired list. He did eventually retire. They released cornerback Tavon Young as well. So they've gone through a lot of transition here and brought in new players to build upon and build off of the foundational blocks that they do have already on the roster. Those star players like Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, Marlon Humphrey, you know, those kinds of guys. And they're trying to build on what was expected last season, which was a Super Bowl run. They were having all of the aims and the makings of a team that wants to get past the divisional round. They've struggled to do so thus far during the Lamar Jackson era. But it felt overall like they're trying to build a team that was up to standard last season, that succumbed to enormous injuries, as we all know, and bringing back the guys that they felt were talented enough and that could operate in their system with the capability to deliver on the hopes of a Lombardi trophy.
And I think what they have done is I feel a lot more confident in their depth this time of year than I did last time around this time, because what you have now is there are only really a couple positions where I feel like maybe they could add a veteran, such as a wide receiver or a pass rusher. Kyle, do you feel like either of those positions could use a veteran, or do you think they're set with where they are with their young guys and they'll kind of go from there?
I think they have interest in one, at least for pass rusher, as you know, and as we've reported, Jason Pierre-Paul has come in for a visit with the Ravens. According to, I believe, Jacina Anderson, he is still working down in Florida. He wants to work out down there, and then he'll sign on with the team when he feels comfortable and ready. And he has no rush to do so, and I assume the Ravens aren't in any particular rush to sign Pierre-Paul, if that's their interest. There's still rumors of him, the Ravens being interested in Justin Houston. So there's definitely an opportunity for them to sign a veteran pass rusher. As for the wide receiver unit, you could definitely add a veteran talent. You know, Julio Jones is still on the market, and whether or not his play has diminished over the last few years, his name recognition alone could be somebody that is worth bringing in for veteran leadership. Chris Hewitt, the coach for the secondaries coach and also pass game coordinator for the Ravens, actually spoke today about why they brought in Kyle Fuller, the cornerback, and talked about they wanted a veteran in the group. They wanted a veteran in that room, and that's what they saw with Kyle Fuller. They have a lot of young cornerbacks. You know, they just drafted Damarian Pepe Williams. They have the younger guys. I believe Marlon Humphrey's essentially, you know, the old head in the room. It's a little peculiar. No more Jimmy Smith. So having a veteran that's able to boost and bolster the squad and give some extra insight to the younger players on how things can operate within the NFL just kind of always demonstrates that those quote unquote veteran qualities and players of that nature do have value in the NFL.
Yeah, and I know the response to signing Justin Houston among the players last year, I mean, they called him Yoda in that locker room, a very good veteran leader. And when you're talking about wide receivers and like the veteran presence like Humphrey, out of your top four guys, the two veterans in that room now are going into their third years. So I think that adding a Julio Jones could really benefit that room. And I don't think it would necessarily be that if Julio Jones comes in, he's all of a sudden taking James Prochet's spot and Prochet's not going to play anymore. Tyler Wallace isn't going to play. I think this is more of a compliment type deal instead of a, hey, we need Julio Jones to come in and be this 1,000-yard receiver, 10-touchdown guy. They don't need him to be that because they have other talent. Rashad Bateman, I think even if Julio Jones came in, would still be the number one wide receiver. So it's just interesting food for thought there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Rashad Bateman is, by all accounts, their new number one wide receiver. That's what they want out of him. That's what they've believed in him since they drafted him, you know, in the first round last year. He has all the makings and the traits of a prototypical number one wide receiver, the route running, the size, the speed, the abilities, the hands. He is built to be a number one wide receiver, and he demonstrated those qualities throughout last season, even battling through a groin injury, and that ended up needing to have surgery. So he has that ability, no doubt about it. And as for the rest of the wide receivers, I think the Ravens are interested in seeing what they have out of those guys and how they are also complementing the passing game. That the Ravens don't operate in a traditional offense. We've all talked about it, and there's positives and negatives to it, but they operate through tight ends. That's why they drafted two tight ends in this year's draft. That's why they have all-pro tight end Mark Andrews, who broke two franchise records last year in yards and receptions total. So they like to be able to complement their passing game and complement Lamar Jackson's greatest strengths, which is targeting tight ends, but also being capable of utilizing his wide receivers.
Yeah, and Kyle, speaking of wide receiver, I think after the trade of Marquise Brown, it shocked a lot of people that they did not take a wide receiver throughout the rest of that 2022 draft, and they had 11 picks. I thought maybe they were going to package a couple and move up, but no, they picked all 11 spots there after getting that 25th pick ultimately for Marquise Brown. But Kyle, how'd you feel like they did? A lot of value overall on the board, taking both best player available and for a lot of need to.
I loved the first round picks. Kyle Hamilton was arguably the best player in this draft. But when it comes to positional value, that's when people start to put other players above one another. He's not a pass rusher. He's not a quarterback. He's not this or that. And so they're not as quote unquote valuable. But I believe in this era of the NFL, safety is incredibly important. We talk so much about having that center field safety and guys that are able to, you know, be able to cover up any mistakes made by the cornerbacks or coverage linebackers. And that's why I loved Hamilton. I thought he was excellent coming out, and I had no, you know, expectation of him coming all the way, dropping all the way down to 14 overall. As for Tyler Linderbaum, I thought that was excellent value, trading Marquise Brown. He did not want to be with the Ravens. He actually, in year two, said he requested a trade, but he stuck around for a third year and then got the trade afterwards. And so getting the best center prospect of arguably the last decade made a whole lot of sense. Going through some of the others, you know, I think they found a lot of value in their picks and in their players at where they wanted them. Some people think you took a couple players too high. Of course, like you take a punter in the fourth round and people are going to have a little bit of questions, especially when a wide receiver like Calvin Austin was available to them, but they went with the punter instead. But it makes sense when you look at the reasoning why. It's not just they pick this player over this and that's all there's to it. There's a whole lot of context. Like Sam Cook is getting up there in years. He was turning 40 and they wanted somebody to be able to take the reins there and immediately be able to be an impact, even though it's just a quote unquote punter's impact. He's also the holder. He's also critically important for the all-time greatest kicking percentage in the NFL with Justin Tucker. So overall, really like their draft. I, along with just about every other network, be it national or local, had them at about an A grade.
Yeah, and I think, Kyle, when you think about being blindsided by something, there are a lot of things you could put in that category. But for one, Kyle Hamilton being at 14, again, I didn't think he was even going to ever make it there. But two, the fact that the Marquise Brown trade was kept so under wraps. I mean, there was no inkling, no rumbling. I mean, how big of a shock was that to you when it went down?
Yeah, absolute stunner. I was in the media room, you know, with some of the other bigger names in Ravens media, Jeff Zeribek, Jonah Schaefer, guys from the Baltimore Sun, ESPN, The Athletic. And we're all sitting there and it flashes up on my screen. And I have never been tricked by the fake Adam Schefters and the fake Ian Rappaports. But I took five distinct looks to make sure it was the correct check mark, read the whole at Twitter handle name of Rap Sheet, and I turned to some of the others. I went, they just traded Marquise Brown. What do you mean, Kyle? Yeah, Ian Rappaport just reported that the Ravens just traded Marquise Brown. You know, there's no way. And it was a stunner. And when you have all those guys who have more inside knowledge and have better connections with those teams over numerous years, to see them also go, didn't expect it, along with myself, just stunned by it, it was absolutely a shock.
Yeah, and I know with him now out of the fold, obviously it is a hit to their wide receiver room. You can't really sugarcoat that, but I think they have confidence in their young guys. I know Devin Duvernay spoke to the media, and he said that it shows they have confidence in the guys that they have. So two third-year guys, two second-year guys, guys like Benjamin Victor and Jalen Moore have been with the team, and also a lot of undrafted. They've brought in a lot of undrafted rookie free agent wide receivers. Some of the same build, you know, taller guys who can win contested catch battles. But I think that through free agency, through the draft, the Ravens have made additions to position themselves. Obviously, health permitting, and we all hope health permitting, the Ravens can bounce back from this 8-9 season. That, I mean, again, they hadn't missed the playoffs for the first time since 2017. They did that, unfortunately, in 2021. But in our second segment, we'll be diving into observations from mandatory minicamp on the offensive side of the ball. Kyle will give us some insight into that. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to talk about here on Locked On Ravens. First, I do want to tell you a bit about Blue Nile. And whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose a diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's Benz jewelers will then handcraft your perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. And if you're looking for fine jewelry but are having trouble choosing, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7. They're available via phone or even chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off of purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. So use code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured. Ships free and arrives in discreet packaging that won't let you give away what's inside. So shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. We're back here. Our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Kyle Barber of Baltimore Beatdown. And Kyle, it's exciting. We're kind of like checking off these milestones, rookie minicamp and obviously voluntary OTAs. Now we're at the mandatory minicamp portion. The first 2 days already happening, the final day here today. But what have your observations been generally on the offensive side of the ball? Some players that have stuck out to you and have impressed for you early on here.
I don't know if you heard this, but Lamar Jackson is at mandatory minicamp. That's apparently a big story going on right now. Lamar looks good. I've seen him, deliver some deep passes downfield, connecting with Rashad Bateman, which is obviously something exciting as we just finished wrapping up about the wide receiver group as a whole and whether or not they're able to deliver. Rashad Bateman has done so thus far with quarterback number one. Going through a little bit more, Mark Andrews shockingly still has a deep connection with Lamar Jackson as well. He's caught some touchdowns, caught some deep passes over the middle for big gains, and overall looked really well. I like Tyler Beatty in what he's done, the rookie running back. He's been kind of the guy getting a loads of reps because J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are still out after their injury sustained last season. So he's been catching a lot of reps. He's catching a lot of touchdowns too and making the most of them. I've been really impressed with him thus far. As for offensive linemen, it's good to see Morgan Moses out there alongside Juwan James. You know, those tackles are going to be critically important for the upcoming season, whether or not Ronnie Stanley does end up playing and heals from his second ankle injury, well, surgery that he had to undergo last season. You know, it looks like everything is starting to fall into place. Everything looks, you know, for the most part, healthy and operable. And a lot of game install has been going on throughout mini camp so far. Sessions that don't have necessarily a defense defending them or just standing in their spots while the Ravens go through new plays and new designs and operations and getting everything fine-tuned and technically proficient for the offense.
Yeah, and Kyle, have you seen anything with Lamar Jackson in terms of like a favorite throw or two? You mentioned the deep connection with Mark Andrews again. Very shocked that's still a thing. No, but I think when looking at Lamar Jackson, there's so many things that he has improved upon from his rookie season, from year one to year five. Now it's just literally night and day. He's turned into such an amazing player in so many aspects. But have there been any particular plays that have stood out to you?
I think, you know, the first red zone snap of mandatory minicamp was a touchdown to Rashad Bateman, spells for good things in the future. I thought that was kind of indicative that, hey, they may not have been here. You know, Jackson wasn't here through the voluntary portion of organized team activities. But in the end, his first snap of red zone drills was him scoring a 10-yard touchdown to Rashad Bateman. I thought that was kind of nice to see. Another one probably would be the wheel route touchdown that we did see on the Wednesday practice, where Mark Andrews was found wide open on a and that's something that doesn't happen frequently. It's, you know, some teams will lose sight of Mark Andrews, but the Ravens know their his abilities more than anybody else, and to lose him in coverage once is quite a stunner. But wide open touchdown for number 89 was nice to see.
And I know a lot of people are excited, obviously not just for Mark Andrews, but the rookies that we talked about a little bit, Charlie Kohler, Isaiah Likely. Have you seen anything out of those guys?
Yeah, Charlie Kohler's had some good reps. Isaiah Likely has had a good few passes made completed. I'd like to see more out of Isaiah Likely. He's struggled with some drops throughout the course of OTAs and some mini camp practices, more than I would like. You know, a drop or two is going to be normal. It's impossible to catch 100% of them, even for somebody like Larry Fitzgerald. And we all know his drop rate percentage being, you know, one of the most glorified stats in wide receivers lore. But Isaiah Likely, I'd like to see him hang on to the football a little bit more. Charlie Kohler has looked good. He's also getting some blocking reps, which I'm not surprised by, and trying to go up one-on-one with some of the outside linebackers. And overall, they've looked pretty solid. And like you said, with rookies, as I mentioned, Tyler Beatty's really been impressive.
Can you talk a bit about more about Beatty? Because, again, you mentioned with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards not back on the field yet, he is getting a ton of these snaps, and someone who I had a fourth round grade on, Baltimore getting him in the sixth round, again, just another example of their great value. He brings something both as a runner and as a pass catcher. It feels like he could have both of those roles in 2022, assuming that maybe he needs to play a bit more depending on the health of both those guys.
Of course, you ask about his receiving and his running ability, and my favorite highlight of him so far was a pass protection snap. Naturally, that's me trying to go off the beaten path and show how much of a deep cut that I can show off. But Kyle Hamilton came flying down on a blitz, and Hamilton looked like he had Tyler Huntley at the time during the voluntary portion of OTAs. Had him dead to rights, and Tyler Beatty shifted the hips, got into position, and made a solid block that stopped Kyle Hamilton from making that would-be sack. You know, of course, they're not going to light up Tyler Huntley during a practice, but it really demonstrated that he has already great knowledge with pass protection. That's something that takes time. That's something that takes a lot of reps to understand and know where your responsibilities are as a running back. And blitz pickup is a challenging portion of being a running back. And yet here he was right on cue against, the first round pick, you know, their number one pick in that draft class. And he's there making the play. But other than that, he has good hands. I've seen him being utilized a lot in the passing game. He's been kind of the check down guy for the Ravens offense. And you don't get to see a whole lot of running highlights just because they're all in shirts and, you know, jerseys and shorts. So there's no hitting. And it's hard to grade running backs when, you know, their biggest value, which is yards after contact, isn't on display during these practices.
Yeah, that is true. And it's funny, it's like the opposite ends of the draft spectrum. You have their first pick and their last pick going head to head, and the last pick winning out there. I think both of those guys, we'll talk about Kyle Hamilton a bit later, but I think both those guys can contribute on both offense and defense respectively. But Kyle, I know Rashad Bateman has been a big talking point. You've mentioned him a couple times here before already. I know there was a sort of scare with him yesterday. Can you kind of talk about what that was?
Yeah, it was an apparent muscle cramp. It didn't keep him out of the game. It didn't keep him for much of practice. I hardly had noticed it. In fact, it was a different reporter that kind of pointed it out to the group when we were all kind of flocking around in the practice area session where the media is available to stand around and such. But it was just a muscle cramp, and he did finish the practice. He was in more reps. He did participate in the rest of 11s and you know, pass scales or just when the offense is just out there as the receivers, tight ends, running back. There's no offensive line and there's no defense. It's just about how they're going through their routes and the motions and what the analysis would be from a quarterback and doing their progressions and reads. So Rashad Bateman did tough out the rest of the practice. We don't have to hit any alarm buttons yet, Kevin.
Good. Just wanted to clarify because, yeah, hopefully there are not many alarm buttons hit this season for the Ravens. Well, Kyle, how's he looked in general? You mentioned a couple of the plays that he's made, but is he looking smooth out there, catching the ball well?
I think so, yeah. He had a tough first OTA practice. It was the first one. He had a few drops, and I think it's fair to mention those when you can also mention the highlight plays. It's fair to be honest in that. But overall, he has caught more touchdowns than he's had drops. He's caught more big plays than he's had issues or incorrect routes. I haven't seen him run any poor routes. He's been battling well. You know, he's beat Marlon Humphrey on some routes. And if you're going to beat, you know, the best guy on the defense one-on-one, that's pretty impressive. He's had some deep catches down the sidelines. He's also had, like I said, the red zone touchdown. He's caught in traffic. He's looking sharp. I've been impressed with his route running. I think everybody glorifies his route running, and for good cause. He's a talented route runner. Keith Williams is out there and he's instructing every guy when they go through their reps at the very beginning of practice. And Rashad Bateman doesn't get the most critique, and that's because he is a talented route runner. You know, there's things that you can always fine tune, and, you know, a year two guy coming out of college who wasn't leaned on as heavily isn't going to be a perfect route runner by any, you know, mention, but he's incredibly savvy with his route running. He knows where to be. He knows how to get the speed and acceleration and high pointing the ball. And so far I've seen good things out of Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, I'm excited for him and what he can bring, and also those other wide receivers too. How have those guys looked? I mean, Tylan Wallace expected to take on a bigger role, James Prochet, and obviously Devin Duvernay too, and some of the other maybe undrafted guys. What have you seen out of them?
Yeah, on Tuesday's practice, I believe Tylan Wallace had the highlight play of practice. He hit Brandon Stevens, cornerback for the Ravens. Brandon Stevens with a double move that ended up getting him wide open along the sideline. It was a streak route that he kind of did a stutter step or a hesitation on, and broke deep for a would-be touchdown for Tyler Huntley, who threw him the ball. I've liked a lot of what I've seen out of him. He's a very physical player, and not a lot of that can be on display, like I mentioned, because they're not hitting and they're not in pads. But I liked a lot of what I've seen out of Tylan Wallace. But along with Devin Duvernay and James Prochet. Prochet, in classic fashion, has caught everything that's thrown near him or around him. He looks pretty darn good. And Devin Duvernay is quite speedy. I always likened him to Hollywood Brown in that they have a similar size. Of course, Duvernay is a little bit bigger and heavier, but they have a lot of similar skill sets in speed and agility and being able to utilize those in the slot and just be fast and try to get those catches in space to utilize their burst after the catch. You know, that's something that Marquise Hollywood Brown was really talented at. We saw it, you know, even as his first football game at the national level against the Miami Dolphins, his first two catches were for touchdowns, and that's because he caught him on a deep route, and then he turned the burners on and even beat Minka Fitzpatrick on that second one. So I see Duvernay having similar speed and burst in that regard, and there's a reason he was an all-pro returner for the Ravens last season. It's because he's got a lot of acceleration. He has a lot of top-end speed, and I think being able to utilize that more this season as a wide receiver could pay dividends for the team and for him.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do talk about the inexperience having their top four guys being two third-year players, two second-year players. The Ravens getting rid of their two fourth-year guys with Marquise Brown now in Arizona, Miles Boykin now with Pittsburgh, but I still think there's talent there. Still definitely room to add a veteran if they want to. I think that could be a very good route to go, but at the same time, if they don't, it's not doom and gloom. It's not the end of the world if they don't add a veteran in that position. But we'll head into our final break here on Locked On Ravens. We'll make it back. We'll flip the field, talk about the defensive side of the ball and observations there from mandatory minicamp. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to talk about here on the show. But first, I do want to tell you a bit about Built Bar. And Built Bar is always coming out with amazing new flavors. And this time they've truly outdone themselves with their new Mud Pie flavor. And for the first time ever, Built is introducing the new Mud Pie flavor in both Mud Pie Bar and Mud Pie Puff. And if you're not sure what Mud Pie tastes like, if you're a chocolate fan, you better sit down because the new Mud Pie flavor is rich with whipped cream and chocolate mousse smothered in 100% real chocolate and topped with cookies and cream crumble. Mud Pie Bars and Puffs are available at Built.com right now, but they're going fast because they are delicious and taste so, so good. And like all Built Bars, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty as well. With that chocolate mousse, whipped cream, cookies and cream crumble, you can stop drooling and get to Built.com to order your box of Mud Pie Bars and Puffs now. You won't regret it. So go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. We're back. Our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher is still here talking with Kyle Barber of Baltimore Beatdown. And Kyle, from you being at OTAs and minicamp, obviously a big part of the story here is the defensive side of the ball and what you've seen from them. And I think to start off on the defensive line, there have been storylines not even at minicamp with the whole Derek Wolfe situation, and now that has been resolved and Derek Wolfe no longer a part of the team after the injury settlement. So that's going to, I guess, test their depth, but I like their depth. I like their depth a lot. They have a lot of it there. And there were a lot of batted passes, it seemed, over the course of this whole thing, with Justin Madubuike being a standout in that regard. How has he looked in the rest of this defensive line look?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Justin Madubuike. He had three swatted passes in a single practice, and you know, going for a hat trick like that in a single practice is pretty impressive. I liked what I've seen out of him. I want to see more personally. I believe Peter King had him as a dark horse candidate for Defensive Player of the Year last year, and that's kind of a big nod, especially from a highly respected journalist like Peter King. So I want to see more out of him. I believe he has all of the physical traits to, you know, flash and be this, you know, not double-digit sack guy, but somebody that can generate consistent pressure and get the quarterback to get rid of the football and try to throw to a secondary that is, at the moment, absolutely loaded to the gills with talent. I mean, you talk about the corner situation, you talk about safeties, that group will make the most of a rushed quarterback trying to get the ball out before it's too late. And that's something that Justin Madubuike should be able to do. I like their depth. I like the starting unit, Michael Pierce, Calais Campbell, Brent Urban. That's a great rotation. Those are some big guys. Two of them, are over 6'6". I believe Calais is 6'8". Brent Urban is at least 6'7". You know, he's always been, the tallest guy at camp for so many years is what I saw in training camp. And now they have Calais Campbell and Daniel Fa'alele. So they got some other big guys. But overall, I like that group. I like the depth. Broderick Washington's an intriguing player and prospect that I think could have another decent step up here this season. But Justin Madubuike is the biggest guy that has the potential label on him, and he's the one that national writers and local writers will talk about, you know, year three breakouts and biggest opportunities for breakout stars, Justin Madubuike, Rashad Bateman, you know, those are the guys, because they have the opportunity. The opportunity is there for them to grasp, and they have the physical tools. They have the coaching tools to be able to put it all together. It's about doing so on the field over the 17 game plus season.
Yeah. And I know for me, Madubuike was my breakout pick in year two for him. And I think he's going to have a pure breakout year this year. That's my prediction. I know I can't go with it for another year after this one. So this is my last chance at the Madubuike breakout agenda. But Kyle, when looking at the front seven continuing here, I know someone who's impressed a ton is Dalen Hayes, someone who I think showed flashes throughout the course of his rookie season. But the issue was there wasn't a lot of his rookie season because he was injured a lot of the time. And I know with now Tyus Bowser, the uncertainty with his Achilles, David Ajabo, the uncertainty there, there's a real chance David Ajabo and Tyus Bowser might not play in 2022. So you got to really look at just where these guys could return. Guys like Dalen Hayes will have to step up in that regard. How has he looked, and what do you think his role could be this year?
Yeah, for Dalen Hayes, it's about doing it with the pads on. I've seen him make plays all throughout last year's training camp. I've seen him now do it in organized team activities. He's doing it again in mandatory minicamp. He looks good. He looks incredible in shorts and the jersey and running around, getting pass rush reps with victories over Charlie Kohler, or beating a tackle off of the edge, intercepting Lamar Jackson as he did on Wednesday. Made the most of dropping back into coverage. He has all, like, this is another guy that has all of the physical traits that you would come to hope for in a linebacker, and now putting him together. He was jokingly, you know, called a twin with Adafe Owe. And those guys both have all of the, you know, they have similar skill sets. You know, they're not built the same. They're not the same player, but they both have the ability to do just about everything that could be asked for from an outside linebacker, to drop in coverage, to pass rush, to set the edge against the run. So I like a lot of what I've seen out of Dalen Hayes. I've tweeted it multiple times, and I've wrote it down on Baltimore Beatdown multiple times. I don't want to keep being impressed by him without the pads being on. I want a preseason game tomorrow, and I want to see him play four quarters on the edge tomorrow, because he's so good in shorts and in the jersey. I want to see it translate on the field. I want him to be healthy, and I want a full season out of Dalen Hayes, and I want to be able to talk about him making plays against, you know, whoever's on the schedule. You know, that's what is impressive. I want to see that from him. You know, talk about him having a 2.5 sack game against the Cleveland Browns, because that's what he looks like he's capable of doing here throughout all of these OTAs and mini camp and everything. And it will be, I guarantee you, in training camp, I'm going to have to tweet about, he had a sack, and he had another one that looked like a sack, and he had a couple pass deflections all in this single practice. I want to see it in a game at this point. I'm tired of hyping this guy up to not, you know, without it being in an actual game.
Yeah, well, the preseason game, it was the Saints. I think he had that, like, dip under move that people were like, oh, this guy's going to be good. And, like, I know for him being that late round pick, there was a lot of hype for him surrounding him last year. But then again, the injuries just kind of derailed his rookie season. So, I would also love to see Dalen Hayes in that game setting, because, again, it's like every day something with Dalen Hayes gets tweeted. And that's great. Like, you want to have that stuff tweeted about you. But now you got to translate that over to the pad. So I'm excited about that. But, Kyle, big year for Patrick Queen. Big year for Patrick Queen. How has he looked so far?
I think he looks lean. He looks like he's more comfortable with the defense. Overall, it's tough to, like, you know, the opposite of running back, what it feels like anyways, on offense is a linebacker for the defense. They're not able to demonstrate their greatest asset, which is tackling and wrapping up and making those plays and linebackers don't get to do a whole lot of tackling, shockingly, in an unpadded practice when you're wanting to keep your roster healthy for the long term. But he has been in the right spots. I haven't seen him with a whole lot of coverage breakdowns. I haven't seen him, you know, when a wide receiver crosses through on a slant and catches a pass. I haven't seen Patrick Queen be the guy that raises his hands to his helmets and demonstrates frustration. All signs out of Queen thus far have been good.
Good, because I know his struggles in the first half of the year are not something that you can sugarcoat, but I think, again, he responded well in the second half and I think can build off of that in year three. But Kyle, the secondary, it's a huge part. You mentioned it. They have so much depth at both corner and safety. I've been very impressed with it. I know a lot of people are excited about these young guys, Kyle Hamilton, Jalen Amore Davis, even Pepe Williams, who's becoming a bit of a fan favorite, it feels like, with the videos the social team's putting out. How have the rookies looked so far?
Kyle Hamilton is everything you would have hoped in getting the number 14 overall pick. He is fast. He's communicative. I've wrote about it now. Every single time he's on the field for a defensive snap, he's barking orders at his fellow teammates, the cornerbacks, the linebackers. He's calling out different, you know, the coded language of a defensive player, saying where they're going to be going, what he's reading. One particular play that I was really impressed by was he was shouting, you know, something, you know, keys to his fellow teammates. Ball snap, Tyler Huntley drops back, and there's three wide receivers off to the left side. Hamilton slides in, covers all three of them in his kind of big area zone. There's cornerbacks there, of course, as well, also making plays. He finds that. He sees Huntley, stops looking to the left side, looks to the right, and there's a crosser coming, you know, from right to left near his zone. He jumps into their at route. Huntley does the pump fake, keeps it, and then starts to run off of the right side. And he's flying in already ready to support on run defense when Tyler Huntley decided to take off. And didn't get the tackle because somebody barely beat him to it. But it shows that he has the wisdom and the knowledge of a smart player, you know, a player that is cerebral and understanding of the scheme and what his assignment is, and not only his, but everybody's assignment. He knows what people are supposed to be doing on that defense. He knows where they need to be positioned, what alignment they need to be utilizing. And that's why he's doing every single snap. He's yelling out, "Hey, over here," pointing out, making directions, making calls to and checks for his fellow team to adjust to the offense. And I've been really impressed with what I've seen out of Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, it seems like he is going to be all that and more from what you're talking about with the 14th overall pick. But how has Jalen Amore Davis and Pepe Williams looked? Have those been guys that have stood out to you? Have they made some plays? I know Pepe Williams had an interception yesterday. So how have they looked?
Yeah, Pepe Williams has looked good. You know, just like you said, the social team's done a good job of broadcasting him. He's got a lot of heart. He talks a lot, and he's been backing it up with some pretty good play. Sticky in coverage. I like where he's been at. I haven't seen a whole lot of coverage breakdown from him. You know, when he gets beat, it's typically on curl routes or short slants or things that don't go for great gains, and that's great. You know, if you get beat for 4 yards, you can take that as a cornerback. You know, you're making the tackle after 4 yards. They catch it for two. You know, if they get a sideline route for a good 5 yards. I haven't seen him be the victim of a deep pass down the sidelines, per se. As for Jalen Amore Davis, similar stuff. I haven't seen a whole lot out of him. You know, as we mentioned, this is such a deep roster in the cornerback department that he hasn't been getting as many reps as the other guys because they want to get those starters out and operated with to make a more cohesive defense. For the most part, he's looked good. He had an interception. It was off of a deflected pass, which is something that he actually has a specialty with. If you watch his Alabama tape, I think about three of the interceptions out of the five that I watched were deflections or being thrown directly to him. He has a knack for just being where the football is going to get tipped or where it's going to get deflected, and he's made the most of them thus far. I've been really impressed with him. He did have one coverage lapse on Wednesday, and you know what? You get beat once, that's fine. Coach Chris Hewitt, the secondary's coach, said, you know, they don't want repeaters. They don't want guys that make repeated mistakes. Kyle Hamilton hasn't been that guy. He said Damarian Williams hasn't been that guy. And from what I've watched from Jalen Amore Davis, we didn't ask him specifically if Jalen Amore Davis was that guy. I haven't seen a whole lot of repeat mistakes out of him, and the secondary is looking pretty solid.
Yeah, and especially for rookies, this is the time to iron out those mistakes. You don't want those trickling into the regular season. You'd rather have them happen in OTAs or mini camp or training camp or even the preseason. So the fact that they are already looking good with minor mistakes, minor slip-ups is a very good thing. And I'm excited. Again, I feel a lot more confident this time of year, this year, than I did this time of year last year in terms of their secondary depth. But Kyle, that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the show. What do you have going on with Baltimore Beatdown and with Late for Work?
Absolutely. So definitely tune in to BaltimoreRavens.com. Every Monday, I do write the Monday edition of Late for Work. Half the time, it is featuring Kevin's work on Ravens Wire anyways, so you'll be able to check out some of that. So I've learned to spell your name rather quickly because I'm like, all right, it's O-E-E-I, O-E-E-I. That's how we spell Ostriker. So I have it all figured out there. As well as I am the managing editor for BaltimoreBeatdown.com. Got a lot of good stuff in the works. We're doing some behind-the-scenes stuff right now. We have a unique list coming out here in the next couple of weeks that I've been working on behind the scenes. You'll definitely want to tune into that. Pretty excited about it. Other than that, always check out my mini camp notes, all the notes that I have over practices that I attend as a media representative, and overall enjoy some of the content wrote by Baltimore Beatdown as well as, you know, your work, I suppose, Kevin. It works out well.
It does. And look, you know about all the guys like Jesse Bick and Jameson Ensley putting out training camp and mini camp and OTA content. Kyle's putting that out too. He's there. He is present. And he puts out those updates, his observations. You heard him talk here for about 40 minutes about what he saw. So be sure to give him a follow on Twitter. It's there if you're here on YouTube. In the video, it's at Kyle P. Barber. But Kyle, I appreciate you. Thanks so much for coming on once again. That's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be diving into more Ravens content to round out the week. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And I will see you back here tomorrow.